You said your story how you want a motherfucker to say.
I just want to start off. I just want to get into it and ask you, what inspired this book? Like, what made you say, okay, I'm going to write a book about this?
Believe it or not, since I was about 20, I've always said that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and that I wanted to be an author. Well, after having a child, other than insurance policies and things, I was like, I have to have something to leave for my child. And after I got back with her father for the second time, it kind of struck a nerve. And I was like, you know, I'm not the only one that he's doing like this. He has four different baby mamas. So if I'm going through with him, they've been through it. But they've been through it even worse.
Definitely.
And after our second breakup, I was like, you know what? I'm going to write it all down. I'm going to tell my story. I'm going to close this chapter in my life. Because I don't want to keep telling this story inside my head. I'm just going to put it out there and let the world hear.
So you're done with him?
Oh, he is totally done.
He is done.
He's not only a baby daddy of five, but he likes men too. So I don't want to deal with a man who likes men too. Yeah.
How you find out he like men?
Inboxes. When you post a picture of who your baby daddy is, everybody got something to tell you.
And so people just been saying, hey... The actual person he's sleeping with, or just hearsay?
Yeah, I have two actual people that he has pulled up on and slept with. He's on some app called Tag. So he's meeting all these random people, pulling up on them, having threesomes, foursomes, and all kinds of crazy, wild stuff. He's wild. He is wild.
Baby. Very much so.
And like, At the point of our breakup, he became upset. He's a drug dealer too. So he became upset because I wouldn't let he had somebody come to my house and sell him from
the Keisha, door. Don't send him to jail on the show. Keisha.
Look, Birmingham already know, the police already know, the DA already know, the magistrates already know. They're not gonna do anything about it because everybody pissed at Keisha.
And why is everybody pissed at Keisha? You gotta let me know.
Because one of the magistrates who called herself a minister, who's a big whoremonger, she works for municipal court, and she does not like me. So, and she's sleeping with everybody in municipal court. She's sleeping with the police. She's sleeping with the magistrate. She's sleeping with everybody she can sleep with.
Why does she not like you, though? Do y'all know each other personally, or?
She had a podcast as well. And she likes the quote-unquote tea. And one subject that she touched was... the married men who's sleeping around. Like, you can't touch that subject because you're sleeping with all these married men. And I said it on her show.
You did that? Okay.
I'm a whole new level, bowl.
Look, y'all, let me get something else to drink. Let me get another Jack. Let me switch up my flavors.
And then she's been after me. Like,
so did she air that show?
She probably could it. After that, I don't even think she did any more shows after that.
Did y'all keep recording, like, during that, like, after you said that?
Yeah, she kept recording, but she was pissed because they had, like, a round table about me when I left, obviously. Because when we had to go to court about it, all these women showed up who was sitting right there agreeing with stuff.
Y'all had to go to court about what?
They put me on, they made me get on probation.
For saying what you said?
For words. They put me on probation for words. And the thing about it is... I can pull up recordings right now that you hear the magistrate and everybody else laughing at this girl because they know she's a whore. But well, she's sleeping with so many people. She's sleeping with judges. She's sleeping with police. She's sleeping with magistrates. She's sleeping with pastors and stuff. So in order to keep her stuff a secret, what are they doing? They're coming after me. So that's been like in all of this. Is behind this book because she has a piece in the book as well. Because we were associates before, you know, her talk show. And every time me and my child's father went to court, she would call me and say, hey, you know, your baby dad got a warrant. When he get in there, tell the bailiff, go and lock him up. Y'all have nothing to discuss.
Oh, she messy, messy.
She messy, messy. And Ooh. Everybody know her. She used to strip. She stayed in the Birmingham T. Everybody know Mental Stuff.
Okay, so once we get off the air, you're going to have to let me know who she is just in case I may have to go
absolutely.
To
Absolutely.
off air. You're going to have to let me know who she is just in case I have to be up in there for child support myself.
Absolutely.
I kid. I'm just playing.
I have the best attorneys for everything.
I see. So that's where that started with her. So would you say you were bitter? Like, I know this term, bitter baby mama, may have arose up with you because you got a book, third baby mama. So I know everybody put that stigma on you as bitter. And would you say you were bitter?
Everybody says I'm a bitter baby mama. I'm not the bitter baby mama. I'm the honest baby mama.
Big difference.
I mean, chapter 4, nothing but screenshots. You can see what he's done, the damage he's done to other women.
Mm-hmm. So would you say you're being an advocate for other women? Definitely. So he does not continue, so other women can know? Or would you just say, oh, I'm mad, let me do this?
And when I put him out there, so many different women came to my inbox and said, I'm so glad I dodged that bullet. He tried to holler at me. He been in my inbox. He been doing this. He been doing that. So glad. Because the only thing they see when they see him, they see the Escalade. They see the $1,000 pair of the shoes. They see the $500 pair of glasses and stuff. Mm-hmm. But deep down inside, this man is fighting so many demons.
Right.
The biggest demon is the incubus. He has a sexual habit and he needs to get help. When we got back together the second time, he told me he was going to go get help.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't got no help.
So how long were y'all together the second time?
8 months.
Okay, so let's rewind back. I know we talked about it a little bit off air, so let's rewind so everybody can know. You met your baby daddy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and y'all have a pretty little girl. How old is y'all little girl?
Ella is about to be 7 on July 1st.
Beautiful little girl. Been viral several times. Beautiful, beautiful, well-dressed baby girl. So
thank you.
Kudos to that.
Thank you.
Always going to step. And when it comes to your baby, just bring out a way.
And you know.
Different side of you.
The problem is that with most of the female who don't like me, first, they're ugly. I don't have beef with decent looking women.
I love Keisha.
I promise you, I do not beef with decent looking women. Everybody who don't like me, they ugly. I'm just going to tell it like it is. Secondly, they're jealous. Instead of commending me for being a great mom, I raised my child by myself for 5.5 years.
So we just going to congratulate you for that because, baby, I'm 1-2, raising 2 by myself. So, hey.
My baby,
it ain't easy.
My baby has been Birmingham's. She won Birmingham's Best Dress. She's been mm-hmm. modeling for Heenick Furs. She models for all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing this by myself. I don't have the help of a father. He just right. recently got visitation. What in February? He's not an active father. Not only in my child life and none of his children's life. His parents take care of his children. I didn't get a penny of child support until she was 2.5 years old.
So you took him to child support court.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you get to that point? So let's go back. You got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all were sleeping around. Were y'all together before you got pregnant in a relationship? Relationship. So how long were y'all together before you got pregnant?
Before I got pregnant, like I said, we met in June. And around, I guess, July, August, I cut it off. And then he hit me up.
Mm-hmm.
We started back talking and, you know, we were seeing each other every single night, mm-hmm. just about. And we did that for four months. Then when I got pregnant, that's when all the problems.
Well, it only take one night to get pregnant. I tell you that much.
Right. and like I said, even after I got pregnant, he was still like, shit, I still don't fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the baby. I don't want none of my children, but I still want to fuck with you.
So he was open about not wanting your baby.
Mm-hmm. Just like the other ones.
And so you kept your beautiful baby
mm-hmm.
and raised your beautiful baby. Okay. So talk to us about the door closing, like the first time. Like, did he come to the hospital or when did the door close the first time?
The door closed, again, when he asked for the abortion. He we found out I was pregnant in November, around mid-December. Mm-hmm. That's when he was asking for the abortion. And based off of Facebook, at the end of December, that's when he got with his fourth baby mama. So he was trying to push me out the way.
So you pregnant and he with somebody else?
Yeah. He pushed me out the way to make way for her.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So that's how that door. But the door, like I said, the door officially closed when he asked for the abortion. Because like I told him, if you would kill your child, you would kill me. So I'll talk to you near time for me to have birth, going to birth.
Just to notify him.
Right.
Of his rights.
Mm-hmm. And when I finally called him around June 26th, that's when I called him, let him know, hey, you know, they're going to go ahead and say the baby would be here July 1st. You know, he said he had to work, but as soon as he got out of work, he was coming to the hospital, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
I went in labor at like 2:12 and he made it there around 3:30. So he came right after.
Did he sign the birth certificate and whatnot?
He did not.
Was that your decision?
He wanted a blood test. But the baby looked just like him when she came out. His daddy even said the baby looked just like him. But I understand he was being anal.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to please the fourth baby mama.
As you call her.
Yeah. Oh, she knows who she is, horse mouth. She knows exactly who she is. Mm.
Not horse mouth.
Oh, yeah, she looks like a horse and the Grinch. Clean together.
That ain't pretty. I'm gonna say it right now. That ain't a pretty sight.
Yeah, so he did not sign the birth certificate. He came, you know, took pictures and everything with the baby. But like I said, when he came back June 29th, that's when he came over. And he was ready. He was like, let me help you get the baby down. So we had sex. he tell his girl, well, it's, she's the ex now, the fourth baby mama, that he didn't do anything with me. But screenshots, again, don't lie.
And you don't delete anything, sound like.
I don't. I still got messages from 2013.
Okay.
So he came over. We had sex. We need to do. It's all in boop-de-boop.
Mm-hmm.
Again, every time he comes back around, he wants me. And that's what I think the other baby moms are upset about it. Also,
because he has always been attracted to you. Mm-hmm. Sexually.
It don't matter what I do. I had his mama locked up. I had him locked up.
Wait a minute, Keisha. You're spilling tea after tea after tea, okay?
Never drama.
Since you met this man, huh? So, emotionally, how do you feel about it? Like, let's just kind of touch on you being pregnant and this man asking you for an abortion. What is going through the mind of you at 33 years old saying?
At first, you know, like I said, I was here for it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, when I made it to the abortion clinic, the lady was like, don't abort your child. They told you can't have children and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I do need to consider this as being a miracle.
Right.
Because the doctors had told me for years, I've had like 7 surgeries, that I would never bear a child. So I had to consider that a miracle. And with him, you know, in my face telling me, I'm about to go Christmas shopping for my other children. So what the fuck about the one I'm carrying?
Right.
So mine ain't nothing? And that's exactly what he's treated her like for years. Nothing. He was not in her life.
Let's play devil's advocate for a second. Let's play a little devil's advocate for a second because we have to get each perspective. So would you say he was saying, I don't want to add to my ticket? Or do you think it was personal? It's just, I just don't want your baby. Do you think it was financial or like a responsibility? Like, I don't want an extra responsibility. I already have these.
No, it wasn't personal towards me because he said it several times. And he'll probably say it again to your face. He don't want any of, he love all his children, but he don't want any of his children because they're nothing but a bill to him.
Wow, that's deep though for a man to say out of his mouth. Which we know a lot of men probably feel this way in their head, but to actually for that to come out of his mouth, that's deep.
Yeah. He doesn't want any of his children.
So that didn't sway your decision after you made up your mind, I'm going to keep my baby. you like, I'm gonna take care of her regardless of if you're here.
Regardless.
So after you gave birth, did he show up or was he
came to the hospital? I was released July 4th. He told me that he had to work. Mind you, he works at U.S. Steel. They're close on holidays. He told me that he had to work and then log on to Facebook. And he's at a family gathering with the fourth baby mama. So you don't have
Why are you at home with your brand new baby?
Well, I'm at home with a brand new baby. He didn't come back to see the baby until July 21st. It was my birthday. That's how I know. And when he came back, he only came because, like I told him, I don't have reason to lie about anything. He came to swab her mouth. I told him, fine. If you want to be that much of an a-hole, come swab her mouth. What is that going for?
So how old was your baby?
She was days.
Days old, and he came to swab her mouth. He came with a home DNA test?
Yep.
You know that baby mama bought that one.
You do know that fourth baby mama did that. That was nothing but her.
Because she looking like, listen, this baby in the way of my relationship.
Right. But
this is me playing devil's advocate, y'all.
He is such a little punk. Such a little punk. That he put his relationship with our child on hold to please and to be with and to shut up the fourth baby mama.
Now, when did she become the fourth baby mama?
She became the fourth baby.
Because she was a girlfriend at this point.
Yeah, uh-huh. a year after Bella was born.
Okay. So after that, after he swabbed her mouth, the DNA test came back 99.99.
Should have been 100.59 because that thing, she looked just like him. Mirroring image.
So what was his reaction?
Petty. I was like, so, what DNA test say?
Because you already know who your baby daddy is. Did you ever have a doubt that this isn't his baby?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I don't sleep around. And that's one thing he knows. Right. I don't sleep around. I'm dealing with one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like I said, being petty, I'm like, so what the DNA say? You already know it's 99.9. I said, well, 99.8 or something like that. He's like, no, 99.9. So he came over because we set up a like contract saying, you know, because again, I'm cool raising my baby by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, you know, $400 a month, spend time with your child, and we can hatch it up like that. I don't want to send you to child support court because I know that you're not on child support for any of your other children. So if you do right by me, you don't have a reason to go to the system at all.
Right. Did he do right by you?
Absolutely not.
Is the question of the day.
July 26th, that's when the fourth baby mama found out that he had been over to my house. And he was back texting me and trying to come over, trying to get a key to the house and everything. So, you know, again, she hit me up and she like, you and Daniel get back together?
And you open it on me.
No, I just got his baby. He came over on 21st. I was sitting on the couch. He was playing with the baby. Stuck his finger up me. Did whatever he do. He told me
he not he stuck baby. His finger up.
Because mm-hmm. He was like, I know you're off your period. You know, he counted my cycle. He knew. I was like, yeah. So I'm sitting there ordering shoes and stuff. And, you know, he slipped his hand up there. And I'm like, chill out. Our baby's in right here. He's like, oh, she young. She know she looking at.
Not she young.
She don't know what she's looking at. So he did what he did, got me off, and then he went and got the other children from school, and then he brought them back so they can come see the baby.
Okay.
And he told fourth baby mama I was lying and stuff, but them children don't lie. They'll tell you what's true. My email don't
no
lie.
Cap. My what they say, no cap.
Chapter 4 don't lie.
Hmm.
So, you know, that's when she was intimidated by me. So she felt some kind of way. She had already been all through my Facebook and stuff. So she hit me up and she was like, well, damn, such and such and such and such and such and such. So I'm like, okay, girl, whatever. Like I said, I just got this baby. We don't have anything going on. I ain't trying to be back with him, nothing like that. So, she's like, so you talk to him? Yeah, I talk to him. When he leave his homeboy's house that was in Illerton at the time, he coming over here. So she got him on three-way And he was sitting there playing dumb, like, he don't know what's going on. Yeah, like, he don't even know who she is. So when he finally made it home to her Section 8 house, he got mad.
Her Section 8 her house.
Section 8 house.
Tell her to pass me the voucher.
He got mad at her, took her phone, slung across the room or whatever. So she hit me up. She was like, he got mad and he took my phone, he threw it. You deal with that abuse and shit. Not me. I'm not dealing with it. Like I said, that's y'all relationship. Y'all do what y'all do. So after that, his cousin, like I said, she opened up his Facebook and she's like, post pictures of the baby and stuff. So shit, I'm posting. His cousin hit me up. Friends hit me up.
Because the baby looked just like him.
Looked just like him. He's known for being at the strip clubs and stuff. So all these strippers hit me up. Oh my God, your baby looks just like him. And so, you know, they just tell me everything. Tell me how he paying for coochie and stuff. I mean, the inboxes were ridiculous. Again, screenshots in chapter 4. It was ridiculous.
Y'all, chapter 4 is where is it? I'm telling you now. When we finish recording, I will put the link on Amazon for her book. Amazon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will put the link in Amazon. Very affordable. Good book. Pretty thick. Durable book.
191 pages.
So did you write the whole thing yourself?
I wrote the whole thing.
Did you have any ghostwriter, co-writer, anything?
I did. And what people are pissed about is 100. I wrote that entire book off of memory.
Memory.
I went back after I finished writing, and I got my old phone, I got all my emails, I got all my screenshots, and then that's when I started matching dates. So that's how I can tell this book verbatim, because it's all true.
So this book is 1,000. I just wanted to insert that in there in the middle of why she's telling her story. She keep contenting table, I mean chapter 4. So please read this book, y'all, because this is a tell-all book.
It's a tell-all.
And it is 1,000. It don't get no more than that.
Book 2 coming soon. And it's full of exposure.
I just want to know, as women, why do we feel like we supposed to go through that? I know you're telling the story about the fourth baby mama who was his girlfriend at the time, and how she going through all these hoops to keep up with him and this and that. You know, so many women, we do that.
She was shaking his phone. She was shaking his email. She was shaking every avenue that she could check. She was
email is a fire. Is a fire. If I got to check your email, you out. I'm sorry.
Cause he knew she was shaking his phone. So his chest. So she started emailing me. He started emailing me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had started checking everything. Inboxes. She even hit me up on Facebook and she was like, do you know Whoop the Whoop and Whoop the Whoop? Them some of the girls he messing around with.
Oh, she's trying to get information from you about her man.
I'm like, well, other than Facebook, I don't know them. Well, those two of the girls that he messing around with, you know.
What she wants you to do?
I don't know.
So was she encouraging him to be a type of any type of father? Or was she just like, this is my man?
That's how I knew she was a bomb bitch. Because you got three children, three different baby daddies. You land with a nigga who got three children, four different baby mamas, and you're not encouraging him to be a better father? You know about my child because you hit me up. But not once did you say, hey, take care of your child. Go buy your child some diapers or something. He did nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That's what I was asking. I just want to know what in the mind of a woman wants a man and needs a man so bad that you jeopardize your self-respect, your peace. You just lay everything down, you know, to the point where you're going through all of these hoops, you know.
For no reason, because at the end of the day, if he respected you as a woman, mm-hmm. he would still be with you. Ask me
or at least being honest.
Ask me where he at now. He's still at his folks' house in their basement. Got a job at U.S. Steel, but he'd rather spend his money paying for sexual activity with men and women, buying Giuseppe's and Fendi, Prada, Gucci, all this stuff. That's what he's spending his money on.
Lord Jesus, help it. Not his job, too. Lord, Keisha, don't send this man to jail. Don't send nobody after him.
Everybody gonna be jail drugs, so it don't even matter.
Okay, well, I played the fool before, Keisha, as we all have. I played the fool. I've learned my lesson. But I think at this point in my life, as a 26-year-old single mother of two, I don't think that I am in the space mentally to be like, let me check your phone. Or, you know.
And the our second go around, I think that I was a bigger fool. I was gullible. Because I had not been with a man or anything like that for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when he sat in the courtroom crying, saying that he wanted to come back, he wanted his family back, he wanted to see his child, he feel empty without us around and stuff. So I'm like, okay.
The tears got you, huh?
Sound like you got yourself together. But we're going to start off slow. We're going to start me now. We met at the zoo. We met at the jump park. And we started like really slow. And then, you know, one day his machine or something broke down at work. He had about 3 hours. 3 hours straight. He was texting me. So I'm like, dude, you ain't got nobody else to talk to? He's like, nah, I ain't focused on nobody but you. So I'm like, oh, okay. I hit my God, mama. I'm like, this dude has been texting me for 3 hours straight. So, you know, we started, he and I started hanging.
Mm-hmm.
I would leave work, go meet him and stuff. And that's when we became, we got back to the point where we were physical with each other. And everything was great because at the time he needed help with the fourth child because the mama, like, this is what he told me. I don't want to lie. He said that he was at work. She dropped the child off at his parents' house. And she hit the road here in Atlanta with her, quote unquote, little boyfriend. She abandoned his child. That's what he told me. So at that point, I felt like, hey, I got to step up. I got to be a mom to not only my child, but this one as well. Mm-hmm. Because that's my child's sister.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to let my child be fly and have all this stuff. And her sister is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
So I stepped up. That baby was with me most of the time. I was trying to get this baby enrolled in school. He was calling the fourth baby mama trying to get social security cards and all her Medicaid and stuff because the baby teeth was rotting. Baby hair wouldn't comb.
And how old was this baby?
At the time, she was 3.
Okay.
So I stepped in and I played the mother role.
So mother was nowhere to be around. Did she call, text, nothing?
He would text her and ask her for stuff. Like I said, he was asking for the social security card, birth certificate, Medicaid, all this stuff. And she would take days to respond to him.
Did she know that the baby was with y'all?
I don't think she knew that the baby was with me.
Oh, so who did she think her baby was with?
His parents. Okay. That's what he dumps all the children off on his parents. Okay. So he can go out and do whatever he wants to do. So, when, like I said, once we got back together for about, I think we were back together about 8 or 9 months. 7 of those months, he basically lived with me mm-hmm. and my child. And like I said, some days, and I call them our children because that's what he called them. So our son would have practice and stuff. When they leave practice, bring all the children over to me. I fed them and did everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just what we do as women. That's right. Just what we do to take care.
Like I said, I paid the food. Again,
the children are innocent, though.
Exactly. And that's what he fails to realize. It doesn't matter what we go through.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to be a father to that child, mm-hmm. not to play get back at me, not to hold me accountable for your life. Mm-hmm. Your job is to be a father to that child. Now, yeah, I had to get him a couple times. You know, he don't like when I say stuff to him, but you can't drive around selling drugs with your children in the car. That's a problem. So I used to tell him, you got to go make a sale. Leave them children here with me.
Because mm-hmm.
if you get pulled over, they're going into custody.
Right.
Like I said, I played fool. I was a fool. And like we said about checking phones and stuff, I've never, ever, ever in my life checked a man's phone. One day, one time,
mm-hmm.
one time, and I could have died when I saw it. Because he left his phone wide open right there.
Temptation was calling you.
Yeah.
Check me.
It was, and I, you know, I seen pictures, like, and again, the fourth baby mama already told me he always had pictures of girls performing solos and vaginas and stuff. And that was what I saw. So, me, I ain't gonna trip on you. I went ahead and text them, and mm-hmm. I let them know. It was like five of them.
You text them from his phone or from your
from
phone?
From his phone. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to know from my phone. Mm-hmm. I text them from his phone. I'm like, look, I'm Keisha. Y'all probably already know me. I'm Daniel's third baby mama. He is here right now with me. That's how I have his phone. I said, but it's no problem for him to come to you because he getting ready to get the fuck up out of my house, period.
So who on him? Raise your hand. Is that what that text was?
So he came downstairs, you know, and he knew he was wrong because he didn't even trip off of what I did.
Normally how it go?
He didn't trip at all. But me, I'm a hothead. So I grabbed his whole face and pushed it to the door and told him to get the fuck out of my house. Mm-hmm. And later that day, we were right back together. Again, the food. All I'm saying he had to do was call me and say he's sorry. He loved me and stuff, and it was on.
So this is the second time around.
Yeah.
Y'all just being all types of toxic, because that's what we gonna call
and
it.
That's exactly all what it was. Types we of were toxic. So toxic for each other. Mm-hmm. We were so toxic. And
so how was his relationship with your daughter though during this time?
It was good. I mean, Bella loves her dad. She loves her dad, and even now, like when he left in October, what he did was so low down and dirty. He left her outside in the rain at 4 o'clock in the morning because he was upset with me.
At your door?
Mm-hmm. Outside, not even at my door. Out on the sidewalk.
He told her to get out the car?
He got her out the car. And he got back in the car. Waiting on me to come get her. I had to go outside in my bra and panties and get my child from outside. I was drunk as hell. Because me and my soror, we went out to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Because I was back at UAB. In competition with Indians, Chinese people, white people, and I got the highest GPA in the class. So I'm exempt from all my tests. Mm-hmm. So me and my soror, we out celebrating.
Oh, so you were a college student. Mm-hmm. You were in college, raising your baby by yourself, just mm-hmm. doing everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he got mad because his birthday, it was there, his birthday as well. Mm-hmm. But on Wednesday night, you get the baby. So why are you tripping? You can't tell me what time to come home. Because on Wednesdays, you get the baby. You pick her up from school and do everything.
So that was y'all agreement. Wednesdays, you get the baby.
Because he knew I had class. But mm-hmm. again, I was exempt. So I called my soror up.
So did he know you was exempt?
Yeah, he knows everything.
Okay.
And
not that it mattered anyway.
Right. Because we had just had a falling out in September. That's when I, you know, told you about the girl and his mm-hmm. phone. And so we had just fell out in September. That's when the minister, or the one who works on this court, saw that he and I were into it. Mm-hmm. So they already had a plan in motion to try and get me. What he did all that night while I'm out, he texted and called me from my baby phone. From our child's phone mm-hmm. to make it seem like he wasn't doing anything to me. He called from my baby phone all night, called me all kind of bitches and hoes and stuff.
Because he don't want the trail from his phone.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, bet. I didn't even know that 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the morning, he down at the magistrate office signing the warrant, talking about I'm harassing him. Because I called back on his phone. Why the fuck you left my baby outside in the rain? We got a problem.
Right?
He said he went down there and flipped and said I was harassing him.
Because you going off because he left your baby in the rain.
Yep. And now
at 4 in the morning?
4 in the morning.
And what is the baby doing? She's just standing there sleeping, don't know what to do.
And like I asked him, why has my child not been asleep ever since 7 o'clock the morning before? Well, you should have had it at home. No, bitch, you should have had it at home. You always at my house any other time anyway. You there any uptime? Why is the problem tonight?
Right.
So, you know, and again, I was
drunk. I would have had to rock the orange jumpsuit about that.
I was drunk, so my clock wasn't even ticking, mm-hmm. thinking this bitch set me up. He called me all my baby phone, cussing.
Why you telling me the story? I wouldn't put that together either. And I'm not even drunk yet. Yeah.
And so, but you know, everything, of course, went to court or whatever. He didn't show up, so they dropped all the charges. But
he put you through all of that just to not show up.
Just to not show up. And again, it was for Kenosha. Oh, I said the minister whore name. It was for her. So now, like I said, we have, I got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different people that I'm going to court for on the 29th. They're all involved with the book and my baby dad. All these people are coming against me.
Because you mentioned them in your book.
No names. Oh, so they're giving themselves away. All the names are fictional.
So they're just giving themselves away because you're telling their story.
Yeah.
I mean, you're allowed to do that. The magistrate,
you know, he's pissed at me now. Because now my attorney knows that he touched on me.
Wow.
Yeah. Magistrate Arthur Teal, City of Birmingham. Now everybody knows that he touched on me. So now they don't want to do nothing for me.
Is this a married man? Okay, we're going to tone him down then. Let's tone him down, podcast.
No one wants to do anything to help me in the municipal system. They, the minister who works for municipal court, my child's father, they sent people to my house. My car was vandalized. They have a contract of arson on my house right now. All about a book.
Somebody tried to set your house on fire? Over the book?
They had, and I have a camera. So I have everybody on camera. You know what they told me at the magistrate office?
What'd they tell you?
They can't do nothing about it.
Why can't they do anything about it?
Because it's me. Now, they pulled up on me at my book signing. 5 women pulled up on me at my book signing.
Which 5 women are these?
That would be the minister whore, the hermaphrodite.
Women from court. To do what exactly?
They came to jump on me. They came to kick my ass. They failed miserably.
Did they kick your ass?
They failed miserably.
So what did they do if they didn't kick your ass?
They got maced.
I know that's right, Keisha.
And guess who got a warrant for their arrest for it?
Who?
I did. They pulled up on me. This girl walked up on me.
Because you maced them?
This girl walked up on me while my back was turned and told me, bitch, I'll gun you down right now. You think they arrested her? And she has an unregistered gun. 2 days prior to my book signing, the judge already told one girl to stay away from me. She still showed up. And so, I got the warrant for it.
So, Keisha, when will Keisha be done with all the shenanigans surrounding her baby father?
I was done with it when I wrote the book. They weren't done with it. They wanted to keep it going. So now I have all this extra drama pending because y'all mad about a book. Instead of y'all being women and being mothers and congratulating me for telling my story and for telling the truth about what's happening, y'all mad at me. But y'all situation worse than mine. Y'all sleeping with men who telling you, I'm not taking care of these children, but you still sleeping with them.
Hey.
But I'm the problem? No. I handle my business. I do what I have to do. Y'all messing around with these niggas and they molesting y'all children, but y'all mad at me? All of them have open DHR cases, but y'all mad at me?
That's a lot, Keisha. That's a lot. That's a whole lot. Like, I can't even wrap my brain around all of it, honestly. But I don't want you to lose your life and your life be taken away from you, from your baby, over this nonsense.
Over a book.
Over a book.
So, yeah, so that's what...
You don't have to protect yourself.
And that's what I do.
You're going to have to protect yourself. You're going to have to, you know.
Yeah. And the magistrate, he told me something. Well, you just need to shut up. Why I got to shut up? And these women on Facebook and Instagram harassing me, threatening me. They have all the screenshots. They have the videos. They have the recordings. They have everything to incriminate these women and won't do nothing about it.
Nobody likes the truth. Nobody likes the truth. Especially if it involves them.
Right.
Nobody likes the truth, and that's just very difficult. While the court is doing this? I don't understand.
Because the magistrate has, he's going to be facing charges more than likely behind touching me.
So you spilled all the beans mm-hmm. out the bag about that.
Mm-hmm. The minister whore, she's going to have to lose her job because you're giving out my information unauthorized. And like I told them, y'all have technology. Y'all can see every keystroke that girl make. Y'all see every time she log into that computer and type my name in.
Right.
But y'all can't do anything about it. Y'all have the screenshots of these people saying, well, Kenosha said this, Kenosha said that. But y'all can't do anything about it. That's a problem.
So you have lawyers and everything mm-hmm. to protect you from?
Yep.
Well, I wish you the best of luck on all these cases and everything. Because it sounds yeah. like a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But again, I hold it in the ground. I go hard for my child.
Mm-hmm. So is this book, where does this book end?
It ended when he left my child outside.
So that's the last chapter of the book.
That's the last page of the book.
How many chapters are in this book?
Seven.
Seven chapters in the book. And the last chapter ended when he left your child outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's when all hell broke loose.
That's when all hell broke loose.
In book two.
And book two is about to be released. And that's where all of his gay secrets and everything will be revealed. That's where every one of these females, they have their own chapter. Because one of the females, again, he pulled up on her to have a foursome with her man, and another chick. He likes dykes.
Wow.
So I have screenshots of her begging him for money to help her pay for medicine for her STDs.
Wow.
So all of that goes in book two.
Y'all, Keisha got me drinking.
The minister. I have screenshots of her begging different police for sex and trying to get them to leave their wives and stuff. That goes in the book.
So let me ask you a question then. So I saw a status that you made, you know, calling your baby daddy like all these type of names, you gay, this, that, and third. Now, what provoked that particular status?
Again, once my child was up in the rain,
everything
I don't care. I make the point, I don't care. Because, you know, she's going to have to deal with that for the rest of her life. When we went to court, the judge asked her, now, none of this is coerced.
So the baby had to go to court too.
I didn't mention any, like the night that it happened, I haven't talked to my baby about it since it happened. I didn't even say anything to her that night.
How old was she at that time?
She was six.
Oh, okay.
5 and 8. Just turned six, yeah.
So this was like a year ago. This is pretty recent.
Mm-hmm. The judge called her to the chambers. Because the judge was like, why? Your baby mama so mad at you and y'all were working on visitation. Why is she so pissed?
Mm-hmm.
The judge actually removed his visitation for a year. He just got it back in February.
Oh, for leaving the baby outside.
Mm-hmm. And for selling drugs. So she pulled the baby to the chamber. I don't know what she asked her. I didn't even ask Bella what the judge asked her. But the judge came back out. She looked him up and down. She said, sign up with the YW for some parenting classes and get out of my face.
That's what the judge said? That's what
the judge told him.
Because the baby told it all.
She told that she was left out in the rain. That's why mommy made. And I had to go outside in my panties and bra to go get her. Pouring that rain.
Now, a lot of women and men or whoever can judge you all they want to, but nobody knows where their head would be if they were put in that situation. Because honestly, hearing it, I would be pissed. I have gotten way more pissed, and my son or daughter have never been left outside in the rain. And I've been more mad, so.
And I have not.
We can't tell you how to feel about that one.
I have not seen him since. He does visitation with my mom, but I have not seen him since.
Oh, so you take the baby to your mom's, and mm-hmm. he comes over there to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And how long does he stay to visit her?
He has to do it for 6 months. July. We're going to start trying to do standard visitation.
And what is considered standard visitation?
Where he gets her, like, for holidays, he get his week. And
oh, she go away with him without somebody else, a mediator being in between y'all.
Yeah. But I think he knows, you know, because he just had a DHR case to close in 2012 for the second child. The mother was underage, and she was in a halfway house.
Wow.
So he had to be custody of that child.
So how comfortable are you with her?
I'm really not comfortable, but I can't go against the judge's orders.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on how stuff go when we get to court in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to, you know, go talk to the judge, the child support judge, and let her know, like, look, he's not healthy for my child. Because he's not. And she already knows this. She's just giving him a second chance, you know.
Right, because he has rights. So what would be your ideal situation for your daughter when it comes to her daddy?
I want her to know him. I want her to know that part of her family. Mm-hmm. I want her to love him. I want him to love her. But her safety is mm-hmm. what's most important to me because, mm-hmm. again, you talking to bitches who don't like me. You sit on the phone fraternizing with them. You know that they're coming to my house. And you don't, not once have you said, hey, y'all chill, my baby stay there.
Right.
You sit on the phone okaying it. Not once have you said, chill, my baby stay there.
So it sounds like nobody is really getting the short end of the stick but the baby. You know, they're trying mm-hmm. to hurt you, hurting your child.
Exactly.
And I know that has to be very detrimental to your mental health.
And that's what I'm like, dude. You sitting here with these bitches trying to get me locked up. Who's gonna take care of your child? Because you can't get her.
Right.
You can't get her. If you wanted to get her, you couldn't get her. You have supervised visitation, fool. They're not gonna give you that child with your record. You already had your DHR case just closed in 2000.
Nobody's thinking that far though. Nobody thinks about the child until after the fact a lot of the time.
Right.
So that's why as a mother, we have to be advocates for our babies
mm-hmm.
as far as the mental health, the physical safety, everything that's involving them, you know?
And my child, he will tell me that, Keisha, she a beast when she pissed. I'm scared of her when she pissed. But she's a damn good mom.
Can't say that, huh?
I'm a damn good mom. And he said it out his own mouth. I am mm-hmm. a damn good mom. Not only did I take care of mine, I took care of your other one.
Right.
None of your other baby mamas would dare take care of all your children. None of them would. My child is in the first grade.
Mm-hmm.
She learns at a third grade level. She writes in cursive. She tells time on an analog clock. She does double-digit math. This is because I sit at home and do this stuff with her.
Her mother is her first teacher.
Right.
And honestly, speaking from experience, I can say that this world is not made for a single mother raising children, a working single mother.
Right.
So to be working a full-time job, to make sure you got a roof over your baby head and food in her mouth, and to come home and you still got to bathe and feed and do the homework, all of that is a lot.
And wake up and do it all again.
And do it all over again. So to do that all on your own is a lot. And so I know I have my days where I'm like, you know what? I don't regret raising them, but it's just days where I'm like, oh, damn.
I need a break.
Yeah.
Like,
it's commendable. It's commendable. Yeah. It really is. You know, we don't get enough credit for the day to day. I mean, when I say the day to day, I mean, like, as soon as you get home from work, they hungry. It's like a snap of your fingers.
Work doesn't stop.
No.
It does not stop.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah. And that's another thing that bothers me about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he get a break. He get a pass.
You don't have to be with your children. None of them. You drop them off with your parents and you go do what you
mm-hmm.
do. I don't have a choice. And that's why that's another reason why I know I accepted him back so easily. Because again, I haven't had any male interaction in 4 years. I haven't had any like real adult conversation in 4 years. So when he came back, I'm like, okay, I got in-house D and my child gonna be with her daddy. Bet, we can do this.
That be the brainchild me sometimes too, you know. That be my brainchild sometimes. Like, how nice would it be to get back with my baby daddy? But
it's all beneficial.
But the reality of your future,
yeah,
is just
yeah. And so
I swim in the waters with that one a lot.
I have to plan and pay to spend time with the man that I'm with now. I have to call my aunt or her grandma and be like, hey, can y'all keep her for two
days? You have to use your village.
Can Yeah, I keep her, and I don't really have a village. Like, I don't deal with my immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
When I say my mom, mm-hmm. I'm talking about my god mom. Mm-hmm. My biological mom is dead. My biological father is dead.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So, and now her grandfather is dead, which is my godmother's ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I was trying to tell him, 2 days before he left her outside in the rain, as a matter of fact, I was like, look, the only man that she knows and loves is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to step up. Right. And like I told him, I'm not trying to say this to say that you're not a good dad or you're not being a good dad. You're doing the best that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
This is all you know. Because mm-hmm. he's, again, used to dropping his children off and
mm-hmm.
throwing the deuces, going to do what he do.
But this particular child needs you.
My child needs you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that pissed him off because when he got up, he didn't even tell me bye. He told her bye and slammed the door. And 2 days later, that's when he left outside in the rain. But I was only being honest. The man that she knows and loves, who raised her, is gone now.
So we want to give a big rest in peace to Mr. Watts. And I can relate to that kind of a little bit because my dad was in my life, but not directly. As I'm growing older, the man in my life that was solid, the man that never betrayed me, the man that I had, he was my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And he died. So I can kind of relate to that when you say the only man that she knew. It's kind of important. A male role model to a woman, to a female in general, is just so important. And the positive male role model that I had in my life was my granddad, my mom's dad.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, and after he died, I had my son, and it just kind of put things in perspective to me because, you know, I'm trying to raise this boy, but I want him to go into the right direction, you know? And as you're raising your daughter, I know it kind of stings a little bit because you're like, hey, you're her dad. Step up a little bit.
Where are you? Pretty much. But I commend
mm-hmm.
her uncles.
And who are her uncles? On your side or her dad's side? Or
Christian uh-huh. and Leroy. When I tell you, those are some fine men. When they okay. took that vow to take care of that baby after her granddad passed,
mm-hmm.
they do that. I don't have to call a man and ask for nothing. When I can call on them too, they cover everything. They make sure everything's good. They take care of that baby.
So shout out to your village because that is important. And I know when you said you don't have much of a village, I can relate to that too because my village is slim. You know, I have to be like, hey, can you, I make a village out of my friends, you know? And like my bestest friend, she has kids. So a lot of times I don't like to bother, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people that would do it. But, you know, you don't like to bother people in that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I'm glad that I do have that bit of discernment, that insight, because mm-hmm. I have that ability. When I sense something is going wrong,
mm-hmm.
I cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
All these girls that I spoke of,
mm-hmm.
they were supposed to be my friends.
Really?
But now they're best friends with my child's father.
Wow. So you feel you have the gift of discernment and you get signals,
mm-hmm.
signs and signals that you yeah. just need to exit and mm-hmm. go a different route.
Because it's like, I foresee it.
Mm-hmm.
One girl in particular, she called his job, talked to his boss, told his boss that he was selling drugs and everything.
Jeopardizing the man.
But she told him I did it. But you know, he's at the point where he wants to get me back so bad.
So he believed it.
He believes her. He believes her instead of asking me, hey, Keisha, let me see them screenshots.
Now, why would you do that and you need that paycheck to take care of your baby? Now, why would you do that?
Exactly. And
make it make sense.
And I mean, I get a lump sum of money every month. I get almost $1,000 in child support. So why would I jeopardize that?
From him. Yeah. Ooh, child.
So all right, but he again, he's just like them dummy bitches. Dumb.
Believe anything.
Anything that he can do to try and hurt me, that's what he's gonna try to do. Damn my child.
So for the record, you saying you did not call this job.
I did not call
and say anything about anything.
When his boss called me he asked me to send an email. I sent him the email, and the email was true. I didn't lie in the email. Yes, I've been in his job several times.
So what was the email?
Asking about, you know, does he do drugs? Does he sell drugs? Yeah.
So the drugs are on the table. Now his job wants to know.
So she told him that I called. I didn't call.
Did he get fired?
No, he's still there.
Oh, okay.
And I have a screenshot to show that she talked to him. But he don't want to hear anything I have to say. Which, like I told my mom, he's going to have to suck that up and get over it. Because come July, you have to start communicating with me or you won't be getting my child.
Right.
You're going to have to communicate with me. I'm going to have to know where she is, who she's staying with, which the judge already told you. Ain't no girlfriends around my child. The judge already told you that. It's only her family. Your folks.
Your mama, your daddy.
And her siblings.
So what does his family think about Bella now?
His family, I can't say what they think about her. I only know from how they treat her. Mm-hmm. And they treat her as an outcast, you know. They don't call and check on her. When we had gotten back together, he and I, Bella came home and told me she saw his mama, her grandma, whatever, and she was uncomfortable. And at that point, like I told him, my child isn't to be around her. Until she can warm it up and talk to me.
Right.
My child can't be around her. And I meant that. And so he stopped taking her around her grandma. Because she's still in her feelings. I would not have had you arrested if you had not called my phone and cut up on me. She called me all kind of bitches and hoes.
Now, what was this arrest with the grandma? Now, you have to go in detail. This is the second time you said that. I need to know the details.
The minister for told me. Because she's calling me, harassing me, and she's doing it at my job to record it. So when she called me back, she kept calling me at work. I recorded it. The minister whore who works for municipal told me, come down and get a warrant because it's verbal harassment communication.
And that's what you did.
And that's what I did. But now all of a sudden.
So they arrested her.
Mm-hmm.
At her home?
It was her first time. I don't know if they picked her up at home when she went and got her license renewed. I don't know. Only thing I know is that it was her first time going to jail. I think she was like 65 or something.
Wow.
But again, the minister told me to do it. Who is his friend now?
And so the mom is mad at you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the whole family is mad at you for that.
Yeah, but like I told, and I think I said it in the book too, y'all was hee hee and ha ha when she called my phone disrespecting me, calling me all kind of bitches and whores. But when she was locked up, now I'm the crazy bitch.
Right.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to obtain my peace and she's disturbing it right now. I told her, look, I'm at work. I'll call you when I leave or I'll come by. She didn't like that answer. So she called back.
So at what point, or will you get to a point where you're like, you know what, let me just leave all y'all behind me. I don't want my child around y'all. I don't want to be around y'all. Just bye, everybody.
I'm at that point now, and that's what have them pissed the most, that I don't entertain them. Go on Facebook, post it up. Y'all want to post about me, I don't care. Because you know how I'm going to get you back with my opinion. Find your chapter in the book because you got a chapter.
I'm weak. I'm gonna find that chapter in the book because I'm having a good time like drinking my wine and reading this book.
They are so pressed. They hate me. I'm like, well, y'all were supposed to be my friends, but now y'all hate me. Y'all can't stand me. I'm this mean bee and all this stuff. Like, what is it? I know why one of them mad because my baby dad won't give him no money. That got nothing to do with me. You should have gave him some Gucci. He probably gave you some money.
You know I'm like the back of your hand, huh?
Yes.
So what is life like for Keisha as of today? Fast forward, I'm sorry, to today. Right now, you and your beautiful daughter, y'all look good today.
Thank you. Me and my baby, we have so much fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, the drama is so on the back burner because my friends, they be like, Kira, how you dealing? How you waking up every day? How you smiling every day?
I want to know the same thing.
Dressed up and cute and you got all this stuff pending in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told the magistrate, I don't give a about none of this shit. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Only thing I'm concerned about is my child.
You got somebody to live for.
That's all I'm concerned about. Yeah, so we live a happy life.
And you know what? That's commendable, because that takes so much strength to wake up in the morning and choose your child every day. You know, a lot of times when we're going through, we have to choose our child before ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that baby. It's that child that keeps you going. And I know firsthand, because it's been a lot of days where I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this no more. I'm tired of doing this alone. I'm tired of feeling how I'm feeling. But you know what? My son, he going to be in that crib. I got to get there. Right. I got to be there.
And as much as I miss out on a lot of stuff, you know, mm-hmm. I had to drop out of school. I miss out on relationships and everything. Mm-hmm. But my child is more important.
She's happy.
I would love to be married, especially to the man that I'm with now. Okay. I would love to.
We got to talk about new man.
But my child is so much more important.
So would you get married again?
Yeah, definitely.
Would you have more kids? Would you try to have more children?
Oh, that's nipped up.
Oh, you can't have no more kids?
No.
Why?
I'm pushing anything else out.
You had a hard pregnancy? Or
No, my pregnancy was awesome. I had a great pregnancy, but my old age first, it's the biggest factor.
Right.
You know, after 40, you have all this stuff that could possibly happen with the child.
Right.
And also, you know, I don't want to be a baby mama for the second time.
You're scared.
I don't want to be a baby mama. You know, so.
You're scared. You are entitled to enjoy yourself and your relationship and your marriage without having a baby. You know, a lot of people, when you had a first baby, were like, okay, so when you gonna have the next baby? Get with somebody, when you gonna get married? You are entitled. You have the luxury to just enjoy the now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people miss that.
Yeah.
Because they're like, why you just know? You know, when you're a mom, everybody got a question. Everybody got an opinion. And really, you just enjoying today. Mm-hmm. Because so much of yourself is pulled apart to work, to school, to... Because I go to school, too. I'm in school to be a medical assistant. Mm-hmm. And I go to work. And my daughter is virtual half the time, and she's not. And I'm raising her with somebody else. And I'm raising my son with somebody else. You know, a lot of me is pulled on the day-to-day.
Right.
So sometimes I just give myself permission to be like, you know what? I just want to sit right here and I just want to play Animal Crossing.
Sometimes you know? she sees that I'm tired a lot. Mm-hmm. Because Bella, we're always doing something like science experiments. Mm-hmm. And she loves mixing stuff. So she's used to doing stuff with me. So mm-hmm. sometimes I'm very reserved and closed off, even to my child. And I would have to pick myself up like, Keisha, nope, your baby not used to this. You can't be meeting your baby. Because Bella, she has the brain of a 10-year-old, mm-hmm. but she's still my baby. She mm-hmm. still acts like she's three, because I don't expose her to a lot of stuff. She's not exposed to sex and violence mm-hmm. and all this stuff. She's still a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. She's still, I mean, like, she's in there playing now. She's still a 4-year-old.
Very much innocent.
Yep.
Still playing with toys. She ain't worried mm-hmm. about no crop tops and TikTok. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't even know how to twerk. What's that? She still dance like a little white child. Because I don't expose her to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. She still dresses with the ruffles and Mary Janes and stuff.
I love the ruffles and Mary Janes, baby. You can keep her like that. I still dress my 7-year-old in the ruffles and Mary Janes.
Want to make Bella happy? Go buy her some slime and some baby dolls.
Yep.
Bella has...
Kids are simple.
She has like 52 baby dolls at home. Barbies.
Simple.
Yeah. And she loves planting. So downstairs, you think we just some straight up bohos because it's plants and stuff everywhere.
Little garden. Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. And I am so glad to hear another mom that's capable to make their child happy through the storm. You want through a storm on the left, tornado on the left.
And she knows nothing.
And you got a happy child on the right.
And I tell you, she knows nothing about it. Mm-hmm. She don't know nothing that's going on. Because I shelter her from all this.
I think you're doing the right thing. Because I don't think it's healthy. You know, a lot of situations that we go through as adults, the way we process it, kids can't process it. Mm-hmm. So it builds up anxiety in them and they start to worry, and then that causes another problem. So the fact that you're sheltering her from that part, excuse me, of everything that's going on with you. I think that's the right way to go.
Mm-hmm. Like, they stupid, dummy bitches.
You had to get that out.
Send the police to my house.
And was your little girl there?
Yeah.
And what'd she say?
I turned the TV up.
And went out there politely.
I didn't answer my door. I told them to call their sergeant, send him out there. That's the only person I talked to, because nobody should be knocking on my door, disturbing me, and you don't have a warrant.
So what they want to talk about?
Was I harassing somebody? She's harassing.
I'm pretty sure it's way more people in Birmingham they need to catch other than you.
Better yet, why you ain't call my baby daddy? He's the drug dealer, not me.
Yeah, I'll keep throwing out this word drug dealer with him, and ain't nobody said nothing about it. I would think that maybe somewhat of a rose with that, because you throw it out like bubblegum, like you spitting out bubblegum, drug dealer.
They have the proof, they have the evidence, they have pictures, they have screenshots, they have his address and everything else. You think they moved in on anything? You know what the magistrate told me? Oh, call the narcs. You the magistrate.
Ooh, Keisha.
But again, no one likes me.
So what would you say to the people who would say, you know what, Keisha, you a snitch? What would you say to those people?
Snitches get called in bitches. I'm just saying. But everybody will say that you're not supposed to snitch. Mm-hmm. Not until it's your family. Then you want people to speak up and talk about it.
So would you say the situation where he left your daughter outside, that's what, you know, erupted this volcano inside of you, where you just like, you know what, everything off the table. I don't care about nobody or nothing.
Nobody.
Because y'all don't care about my baby.
Exactly. And that's what the magistrate gonna tell me as well. Well, you talking about these girls letting their children get molested? They are. They mean random men. They bring them around their children. What you think gonna happen?
Mm-hmm.
They gonna get molested. But you didn't have a problem with them posting a picture of my baby talking about my child.
Oh, they did that?
Oh, yeah. I got all the screenshots. Yeah.
Talking about her?
Mm-hmm.
Saying stuff like what?
She gonna be talking to her mama through a nasty glass on the phone, cause I think that my baby all this and all that, because she know how to read and write and stuff.
And she is all that because she know how to read.
It ain't my fault. Your baby is what, 6 and 7 years old and can't read or write. That's not my fault. I do a damn good job raising mine. Y'all should be taking notes from me.
And you can brag about it. You can brag different about your child, because, baby, I struggle with mine. You can brag different about your child being able to, you know.
Right. They should be taking notes. They should be commending me. They should be clapping. But instead, y'all rather sit back and hate and try to find ways to try and sabotage my life because your life is in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with me. I choose to... I'm celibate. I'm putting it like that. Mm-hmm. And that's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because men throw themselves at me. But that's a choice because I have to keep my child innocent. Mm-hmm. I don't want no man up in my house raping my child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no man sticking his finger up my child. No. Because mm-hmm. I'd really be in jail for murder.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you speaking from experience or do you just...
Like molestation and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I've never been touched. Okay. But... again, like I said, these women who don't like me, who are supposed to be my friend,
mm-hmm.
all of their children have been molested. They have
you want different for your babies.
I don't want my child to experience that.
As you shouldn't. It's in your instinct to protect your baby, so I think you're doing the right thing. And let me get on my soapbox, all right?
Okay.
TED Talk, Morgan, soapbox time. I really feel like that once you take all the negative and toxic things out of the situation, that a lot of women can relate to you. As far as like the basic situation, the everyday, day to day, I done heard way worse stories, because I feel like mine probably neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I commend you for being a wonderful mother. I commend you for standing in your truth, because can't nobody tell it like you.
Mm-hmm.
I commend you for being the horse's mouth. Because when it's back and forth so many times, it don't sound the same.
Right.
And through the storm, you know, you're still making sure that your baby is nice and healthy and she is beautiful.
Thank you.
And on the other side of my soapbox, I can say that once you focus on that part of you, like when you focus on the positive part, the people that's really in your corner, your god mom and everybody else, your real genuine family and your genuine friends and your man, when you focus on that part and you lead a rest behind you, I feel like, ooh, Keisha, you'll be a force to be working with.
And that's what I've been focused
you
on.
You will be dangerously happy.
And one of my friends, Henry, he told me, he's like, Keisha, when you think about it, he's like, you're powerful.
Really powerful.
He was like, these women hate you because you're powerful. He's like, they don't just hate you because you're a pretty girl, you wear your rompers and your heels, you take care of your baby. He said, they hate you because you're powerful. You have a voice, mm-hmm. something they don't have.
And I think you should use your voice. You know, you said people say you should talk, you know. I think you should. It's worth listening to. I think you should give it a go.
Damn.
Give it a go, you know? And then mom tips, you know? A lot of people don't know how to work. A lot of people don't know. Because, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes you parent based off how you weren't parent.
Mm-hmm.
Or you use the things that your mom gave you to take tips and bits from it and raise your children, you know? And you can give other people tips and help people. You know, I love to help people. I love when people ask me, you know, how do you do this with your children? Or how do you, you know, I would love to help you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have different advice from me because I don't have all the answers either.
Right.
So you could probably help me with some things, you know, as far as my baby, and that would just be powerful.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Leaving a mark, put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's writing a book?
Your baby?
Yep.
Is she writing a book?
Yep. And she is about her granddad. He watches me in the sky.
Is it a children's book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're excited to support Bella in her new book.
Yeah.
So excited for that.
Because she, you know, she'll go grab her laptop and just start typing stuff. She's like, this is what I see mommy doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Influence.
Yeah.
Powerful influence.
You know, and she is such a freaking lady. Like, mm-hmm. Bella gets up. She do her makeup, she get her hair done and stuff, because that's what she sees me do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I may not be the best person in the world, mm-hmm. but for that little girl, I'm a damn good mama.
Superhero.
Right.
A superhero. So let's talk about Keisha and her new man, though. We can't talk about the bad without talking about the good.
Oh, gosh. When I tell you,
just talk about how you make you feel. Let's just start off with that.
I'm always happy. Like, mm-hmm. when we go out and stuff, I spend most of my night looking at him smiling.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have to talk. We just have that communication. To see a 6'3 man.
Oh.
Light skin.
Towering over you.
With green eyes. And to know that he's hardworking. Like, what he works at, he's the general manager. He runs everything. He lives a life of luxury. And he wants to give me that life as well. Like, when we go out and stuff, you will never hear us say we finna go to, like, Logan's or Applebee's or something.
Yeah, the best of the best.
He likes the best of the best. You know, wake up in the morning with mimosas by sitting on the lake. Like, he just does it for me.
And I'm smiling for you.
And he's so attentive to mm-hmm. me. Like, I text him, he'll respond back. No later than 2 minutes later. He'll call me. You know, he's just very attentive. He's mm-hmm. looking out for me. He wants to know what makes me happy, what makes me mad, what makes me sad. You know, it's different. It's not toxic. Mm-hmm. And I was saying it to one of my friends, like, when you're used to a toxic relationship, you question everything. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Everything is a red flag.
Yes, I sent him a text message one day, and he was like, hey, chill, hold on. We're going to break this down for you.
Oh, he can put you in your place, huh? Yeah. That's what you really like.
I don't play no games, first of all. I'm not with you to play no games. I already know your backstory. I know what you've been through, and mm-hmm. yada, yada, chop it up. So, again, that attentiveness, that nothing's coerced with him. It's like, it's just 100.
Are you yourself, your natural self? Does he have any children?
He has 5, but they're okay. Up in age, so.
So he good. He ain't got to get you pregnant. He good. Mm-mm.
Look, well, I already perfect. Told him. He said he don't want no more. And I was like, look, I'm nip and I'm tucked, so. I can't cushion it out for you. He's like, no, I'm good.
Well, that's wonderful.
And he's not basing anything on, like, sex. Mm-hmm. Like, we hang out together. We spend the night together. It's been, what, 4 months, and he ain't done sex. He's making sure that I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. So are you happy?
I'm happy.
When you look at you, Bronwyn, and when you talk about him, you immediately smile.
Light up, right?
So that's a good sign. So, question of the day, drum roll. Has he met your daughter?
He has not met her yet. Okay. He understands that I'm very super overprotective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he come in town, he'll go and, like, get his own room or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And you go visit.
Yeah. He understands how I am about her.
So, does she know of him?
Yeah. They've had conversations and stuff on the phone.
Okay. So, she just haven't put the face with.
Yeah.
So, are you leading up to that? Or do you have a timeline on it? Or
I'm thinking... really for me to be comfortable, because I mean, this will be the first man she's ever met
other than her dad. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Woo. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe July would be good. I don't know.
So in July, how much time would that be
for he and I? What month is it now?
It is April.
It'll be half a year.
Okay.
So I think it'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
So what type of setting would you want? Like, a lot of moms have different answers when it comes to the time frame to introduce their new man to their kids.
I think that'll be, I'll probably invite him over to meet her.
To your
in
house.
In her own environment. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that she's comfortable.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would he spend the night? Or?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You know us now. You know us.
Absolutely not.
So what would you introduce him as? Just curious. Is this mommy's friend?
Yeah.
Is this Uncle Bobby?
Oh, who no. Who is this? This is Mr.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then. I can respect that.
And she, again, she knows who he is. She just has to put a face with the name and the voice.
Okay. See, because I've been thinking about it, you know, I'm not quite dating right now, but I always, you know, wonder how would that go? You know, how would that go? How would, mm-hmm. I don't, because a lot of men are skeptical anyway when you're, the smaller your child is, the more, you know, it's like, oh, she's still fooling around with her baby daddy, you know?
That's what they be thinking.
That's what they think, you know?
But I tell you, me and my child's father, we had no contact. The last time he saw her, she was 9 months, and he didn't see her again until she was 5.
Okay.
So that was a...
Between that gap, though, did she talk to him, or did she ask about him, or... Because
no contact.
Her granddaddy filled that gap for her.
Yep. She and even now, mm-hmm. with doing visitation, she's more concerned with seeing her siblings. Him?
Is my sister going to be there?
Right, because, and I know, she doesn't say anything about it, but I know it still plays in the back of her head. My dad left me outside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she really doesn't focus on him.
It does not traumatize you until it traumatizes you. For instance, I'm going to talk about this. So when I was little, I was in elementary school, and my mom and dad were going through a divorce, and I had a sister that went to my school with me, but I didn't know that she was my sister. And my dad was well known throughout the school. He was on the PTA, like everybody knew mm-hmm. him. So when he came up to the school, well, I knew of her, but I didn't know her exactly to be my sister. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Does that make sense? So, everybody was like, Morgan, your daddy here. Your daddy here. Your daddy here. So, I got my stuff. It's 3 o'clock. It's time to go. And so, I walk up to the front and I saw my dad leave out the door with that other little girl.
Without you.
Without me. He was going to leave me there. Because I was going to after school care. My mom worked 9 to 5 my whole life. And I was going after school care. That's what I did every day. She picked me up at about 5 when she got off work. So my dad, he came to that school to pick up her. And I was like, Daddy. And at that point, he had to take me because he saw me. And he took me to, you know, the house that he was living with. I mean, the house that he was living at with this little girl that I later found out was his real daughter and her mom. And she was so nice and welcoming, you know, she making food. But I was just very uncomfortable because I knew my mom didn't know her. You know, I was just, I was thinking of nobody but my mom at that moment. It felt wrong. But I promise you, the sight of my daddy leaving out that door without me traumatized me for the rest of my life. If anybody could ever ask me what moment in my life do I think about when I think of trauma or a childhood moment that I could replay back again in my head, I would say that. And I didn't know that it would do that to me until I got older and I had my own kids. I always knew it happened, but I didn't visualize it as trauma until I became a mother or an adult, you know? So that's why I say you don't really know it's trauma until it's traumatizing. You don't really know until it happens to you. And so that moment, I just, it sting like a bee when I think about it.
Did you ever tell him how it made you feel?
I don't know. I don't know if me and my dad ever had that direct conversation. I know he know it happens, and I've talked to my sister's mom about it too. You know, I've talked to everybody about it, but I don't think people know how much it hurt me. So when you talk about that situation with your daughter, you know, trauma, you know, you really don't know how much trauma it will be until it becomes traumatizing, until you get triggered. That's the word I'm looking for. Trigger.
And still, you know, he's been back in her life since February. Hasn't apologized yet. I think that adults think that children don't deserve apologies.
Right. Or that they don't remember or don't view it as that. Maybe not that time or that second. But once it's processed, it's there.
Yeah, because I almost want to tell my mom to, like, look, tell him he needs to man up. And talk to her about what happened.
It'll be more genuine on his own terms, though, because my dad, you know, he's not a bad person, but he's so nonchalant. He'll be like, you know.
And that's kind of how he is as well.
He'll be like, oh, you'll be all right. You know, kind of like that. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not all
right. Right.
That's why I'm vocalizing this situation to you, because I'm not all right, you know. I could be dramatic sometimes, and a lot of people play on that, you know. Emotional, dramatic, you know, but some things really just sting more than others. It varies by person. So you know what? You'll never know until you know. It's one of those things that you just protect and, you know, you sort out until that day comes. And it's just like a moment. We're like, Lord, I never knew I'll get to this point where we're talking about this with you, but here it is.
Yeah, and I know you was asking, like, what do I want? Does he happen? I want her to be comfortable enough with him to tell him when something is bothering her.
Right.
Like, when she's with him, if he has her in a situation that's uncomfortable, I hope she's comfortable enough to say, hey, I don't like being here. I don't like this.
I want to go home.
Right. Because he already know that door is going to be open for her to come back home anytime. I don't care if it's one day until your visitation or 2 weeks. Bring her back home. Go do what you do.
So this leads me to the conversation of when a child is visiting the other parent, do you think they need a phone?
Absolutely.
I struggle with that.
Absolutely.
Why do you think your daughter would need a phone?
Again, his character. He's not the most trustworthy person. He's not.
Do you think he would seize her or take it?
Oh, he'll never do that because he don't want to deal with me.
Okay.
He does not want to deal with me. Like, her hair got messed up last week during visitation. You know, he flew in that house and told her, like, look, this happened. Make sure Keisha know. Yeah, he knows how I am about her. Mm-hmm. And so he already knows she's going to, like, my mom allowed him to take her to go get something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in going to get something to eat, he made a stop. He's not supposed to do that. So, of course, she told me. And my mom got on because
I trusted you.
Exactly. She trusted you to take her, go get something to eat, and come right back.
Were you mad at your mom? So now, or?
No. So now he just goes over to visitation. When he go get food, he'll leave the children there and go get food and then come back.
Okay. Bring the food with you, sir.
Because, you know, like she said, you need to think about your history. You sell the other ones in the car. You're not going to do it with this one in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Because we got her back.
Right. So, she's gonna have to have that phone. She's going to need that phone. And he knows why. You know, he has his history of bringing women, different women around his children. Like, the oldest, she's 16 now. So she's been in and out of households all her life. Because mm-hmm. when he moved in, he bring his children with him. My child not gonna experience it.
Right.
Period. So, yeah.
I struggle with that because for one, well, I would say my daughter struggles to read a lot. So mm-hmm. I always stressed her, when you can read, I'll get you a phone. But I never thought about, you may need it for safety reasons. You may not be able to read, but I bet you can identify my number.
Right.
Or my name or my picture.
Big old happy face right there, mommy.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'll just, and she's never too many places without me, but sometimes I feel like she does, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sorry that, you know, we're in the day and time that we are in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if that child can operate a phone, that child needs a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know.
Is there an age limit that you feel like, okay, she needs a phone? Or
what? She's had a phone since she was 3.
And been operating it.
Yeah.
And calling you. It's been on?
Yeah, I put something on Facebook about 2 years ago of her, everybody, it came up in my memory yesterday, as a matter of fact. Of her texting me, you know, first she was buttering me up like, mommy, I love you, and such and such and such. Oh, can you buy me this too? And after I told her, yeah, I'll buy it, she didn't respond to any of my text messages.
You have to show me that.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad you, Bella, came over here to talk with me.
I had a great time. I'm glad you invited me out, really.
Because I feel like this has been a very important, I feel like of all of my shows, this is my favorite so far. And this has been the most important because I feel like you really do have a story to tell. And I hope people go and buy your book. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to promote your book just when I promote my show. And thank y'all so much. Y'all, Bella eating chicken right now.
And look, and when I get out of now that I know of your show, because again, I didn't know until you hit me up.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get out of Facebook jail, I've been in.
Now, why are you in Facebook jail? How do you even get in Facebook jail?
I've been in Facebook jail for 4 months now.
What?
They let me out for a couple hours and I'll be right back in. This time, the DA put me in because I made a post basically calling them out. I'm like, y'all are allowing things to happen because y'all don't like me. My safety shouldn't have anything to do with y'all liking me.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all have proof of these people doing this stuff.
Right.
So yeah, they shut down my other page and put the Bella page in jail for a month.
So do they give you a time or?
Facebook gives you 30 days. When you have a record like mine, because I've always been vocal. If it's on my stomach, it's coming out my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my 96 times in a Facebook jail.
96.
96.
You definitely have diarrhea of the mouth. definitely need some pep talk, Keisha. Come on now.
Yeah, I would say anything, but most of my followers, mm-hmm. they follow me because I don't lie. It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that. Most of these people have been in school with me, whether it was NCJO, Miles, Jeff State, UAB.
Mm-hmm.
They know. One thing about me, I'm always 100.
You're going to keep
Even
it real.
Even if it hurts me, I always keep it 100.
So let's just leave with this, and I'm going to ask you this one question, and I want you to keep it 1,010. Do you regret anything to this day? If there was one thing that you could take back, would you and why?
I would not have accepted him back in my life the mm-hmm. second time because mm-hmm. it disturbed my peace.
Mm-hmm.
I was sick. I was sick as a dog because I was stressed.
Mm-hmm.
This time, 2019, September,
mm-hmm.
I had fibroids. I bled for 4 months straight. I had to wear armband. So if I passed out, they knew what kind of blood to give me. And all of it came behind stress.
Mm.
So yeah, you know, we hadn't seen them in years. Mm-hmm. And we were living a happy life. I didn't have any drama. None at all.
Mm-hmm.
None. Until he came back around.
So that is your one regret, allowing this man to
disturb my peace.
Disturb your peace. And yep. I think that's fair. So that's the one thing you would take back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would have not allowed him to come back into your life, where do you think you and your daughter would be right now?
I would be done with my master's
mm-hmm.
by now. I probably still be in Alabama.
Really?
Because I had plans of moving to Texas.
I love Texas.
Those
would you have written your book, though?
The book probably would not be published.
This book or a book?
That book.
Okay. Because you know you said you wanted to be an author.
Anyway. I was going to write.
Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't be like
it
this.
It wouldn't be that. And, you know, so many people actually compare my book to something that Zane would do or something mm-hmm. that of 50 Shades.
I can see that. I definitely have to read this book.
I did not sugarcoat anything.
I'm gonna be getting in touch with you yeah. because I'm gonna be like, "Ooh, Keisha, why you said that on page 101? Why you did
that?" And it's so funny because my friends and we're in a group chat mm-hmm. and it's like 8 of us. So somebody would say something, and then next thing you know, somebody said, "Ooh, chapter 7."
Like a little book club.
Yeah, like go read page 1, 2. My friends have my book memorized.
I need to read.
Go read page such and such. Y'all remember Keisha said this. Keisha's so crazy. Keisha's so wild, but Keisha 100.
So give us an insert to chapter 2. Is it a continuation? Is it something new or?
The new book is going to pick up. It better yet, flip to that last page for me.
Okay. Flipping to the last page.
Flip to the last page. Tell me what you see.
Hold on. Let me make sure this is the last page. Is it
it's a picture.
Okay. Chapter 8, All Hell Has Broken Loose. Don't worry. I won't tell your baby mama. Yeah, that's the last thing
that,
I see.
That's a man with another man.
Oh, so that's an insert to your chapter 2.
That's the man with the man. Two. Because, and you can read the last sentence. I told you where it ends at with him pulling off.
Keep an eye out for it. It is set to be released for summer 2021. Okay, yep. Summer 2021. Y'all and can catch Keisha.
It will pick up to, again, the screenshots and everything of the people inboxing me about him and his gay tendencies and the things that he's doing and paying for. But like I said, each individual who's involved with him
mm-hmm.
at this point, who's harassing me, again, they were all quote unquote supposed to be friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I know all of their business just like I know all of his business. So mm-hmm. they all will have their own chapter okay. in the book.
So is this book about him or just a continuation? About him?
it would be the third baby mama, my baby daddy's revenge. Because all of this that's happening is him trying to get revenge on me. And the reason that these people have their own chapter, again, because they were my friends and they reached out to him when they got upset with me because I cut them off. So,
oh, okay.
It's only fair that I give y'all your own chapter.
I got
y'all
you.
Y'all be friends with him. Let's do this.
Might as well.
But you will see in the book as well, it is some encouraging stuff because, again, I've been through it. So right. It is some encouraging stuff in that book. And as well as book two, it's going to have some encouraging stuff to, you know, talk about how I got over and anticipating the release of book three.
Okay.
That's the name of it, How I Got Over.
Okay, so you already planned it.
Yeah.
Okay, Keisha, you better have a plan.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for your new releases. So tell everybody your Facebook, your Instagram, and all of that social media where they can find you. Because I know everybody going to want to see Keisha. Everybody want to talk to Keisha. Tell everybody where to find you.
On Instagram, it's KED1908.
Okay.
On Instagram. On Facebook, y'all can join the books page. It's The Third Baby Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Just look it up on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on Facebook as Bella Daniel.
Okay. So I will be posting all of these names. So y'all got Rick, y'all brain, remember what she said. I will be posting all these handles on my Facebook, on the Milfy Momcast, Instagram, and everything so that y'all can follow Keisha. And thank you again for coming to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What's up, y'all? Thank y'all for tuning in to Milfy, the official Momcast. And I am Morgan, of course. And I want to give a big shout out to Keisha Daniel for coming on to the show to talk about her new book, The Third Baby Mama. So y'all make sure y'all go to Amazon and check that out. Her new book, The Third Baby Mama. The book also has its own Facebook, self-named The Third Baby Mama. Please add Keisha on Facebook at Bella Daniel. At her Instagram at KED1908. Check y'all out later.